Remember, today's podcast is brought to you by LSKD, a Brisbane-based clothing company that we believe aligns incredibly well with our brand.
Yeah, their activewear is taken over as one of the highest quality outfits on the market. And as well as that, their casual wear is next to none. I personally lived in it while I was in the UK. It's smart, it's casual, and it's stylish. So what more could you want? So from activewear to casual wear, make sure you check them out. You will also receive 10% off at checkout by using the code REBUILD. And by using them, you are helping us grow this podcast. And everyone is a winner, including you, because you will look fantastic. Let's get into the show. I'm James Beatty.
And I'm Sean Carroll.
And welcome to the REBUILD Health and Fitness Podcast. All right, and welcome back to the REBUILD Health and Fitness Podcast. Today, it's just the two of us plus Kate.
Oh.
Yay.
We're going to be talking about things you would have told your...
younger, teenage self.
Teenage self. We weren't sure how far back to go. The things we wish we knew, maybe. Don't be looking at my sheet.
Okay? I'm not looking at you. I got plenty. I've made plenty of mistakes.
Yeah, that's it.
I was working here, taking this job.
I was doing a lot of mine, and I was like, I could still just tell my 2 years ago self the same thing. Or yesterday's self. But what's been happening? Let's catch up. Kate, it's the first podcast you've done in probably 6 months. So welcome back.
Rude.
Welcome back.
I've been editing up a storm of podcasts. I feel like I've done them because I've been editing them. Because you guys just have a little chin wag, have a coffee, and then go on your merry way. And then I have to deep dive in and do all the production.
I've never heard so much farce in my absolute life. What's been going on with you, Sean?
Oh, mate, same old.
We've not caught up like
this in a while. We haven't. I think this is the first one we've done together this year.
Yeah, I've done. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry.
I'm chopping and changing.
Don't worry, I'm riding the wave, carrying the team.
The three musketeers back together. The three best friends that anyone could have.
Cut.
Ever sing that.
I'm good. I'm, what, 4-5 months out from getting my new shiny hip.
So yeah.
That's exciting. And then, yeah.
Boxing?
Boxing, yeah. Another fight coming up soon. Me and James had a tussle this morning, which is fun.
Work related? Or?
Yeah, we just decided to settle our differences once and for all, like Rocky and Apollo Creed style, behind closed doors. No one will ever know.
It was quite fun. It was just boxing, I guess. Yeah. Sean asked me to spar with him. I was like, why? why? I don't box. But it was fun.
And how are you?
I'm good. Just doing my thing. Jitsing, training.
Getting injured.
Cashing checks, breaking necks.
Yeah, my car stolen. Oh, whatever. We'll bypass that. This is just another podcast.
We've all been there.
I have not.
Yet.
Who's starting?
Kate.
Kate, why?
Do you want a serious one or a stupid one?
Whatever you want.
Okay. Things will get better. Stop sweating the small stuff. I think things when I was, I hated
myself.
How old
are we talking?
Whole of my adolescence and early 20s. It's like people who might have then, I don't even remember their names now. Yeah. And there was things people would say and it had really bugged me. And now I'm I can't remember what that was, but I remember it really upset me. I only remember the results of the words, not the words themselves.
Mm. I think that's a common theme though throughout. And I think that it's a part of the thing you have to go through, right? You think this is it. It's life-threatening. This is going to end, and then time.
Feels like the biggest thing in the world at the time, but the person who maybe perhaps said something to you didn't pay it any attention, but you've just hung on to it for the largest amount of time.
Yeah, because it felt so big in that moment,
and
it was not big.
I've got one on time, so I wrote that. Time is a wonderful thing. Every bad feeling will pass, and every good feeling will pass.
Ooh.
Deep.
It does though, right? Mm. Whatever mood you are in, it will pass. Good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, and even to do with happiness. You know, happiness is not a constant, right? It's a forever changing thing. Mm. And there's a book that Lou's reading called The Happiness Trap. And they talk about this as one of the, the big reasons for a depression is the fact that people believe they should be happy all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not the case. You have moments of happiness. Do you know what I mean? But then
the rest of your day is not filled with just contentment, hopefully, or just life. But if you're always trying to chase the happiness.
What's the whole concept of yin and yang, right? You can't have the good without the bad and the bad without the good.
No light without dark.
Ooh, deep. My one's probably just going to be just as deep. don't put your girlfriend's name in your MSN bio.
did you used to do that?
Yeah, everyone did.
Nah, you know how, did you do like roses?
Yeah, roses and like not the love heart, but like the arrow symbol with the three.
You're a pig.
And it was all cringe. Cringe. But then like in those days, you'd break up with someone and like 2 days later, you're with someone else and it's like, change his profile.
Nah, that was never. Never for me. I was always just listening to bangers and letting people know what I was listening to.
I think I was always writing some song lyric. I was one of those.
Do you remember your first, like your MSN email address?
Oh, yes.
Go on. What was it?
I don't want to.
Come on.
Go on.
It was I'm_cow_moo.
What? I am a cow moo.
What was yours?
Don't email me. It's been blocked.
Mine was Scrummo 9. Just let everyone know that I played rugby, you know, back in the day.
Mine was Sean_sport_high_123.
This is horrendous. Horrendous. Right. Some of these will be health and fitness related. Some of them are pretty funny. I got one here where it's just like, put a fucking coat on, mate.
What?
You're coming from the UK, right? It's cold. Forever cold. But wearing a coat was never stylish. So I used to go out the whole way through winter with a t-shirt on.
Can't show off his guns without a coat.
And my dad, guns back then. And my dad would always say, mate, put a coat on. Any idiot can be cold. And it never, I was like, that makes no sense. What are you even talking
about? Shut up, dad.
Now I'm older, I'm like, I get that.
I remember going out in like Cardiff for the first time. It was around Christmas time. And it was like zero. And the girls, like what they used to wear, I was like, you're so brave.
Alcohol jacket.
Risking life.
Yeah.
We used to say, mum would even be like, yeah, you're getting your alcohol jacket on tonight. It's like, are you going to be cold? No, I'll be drunk.
Where's that? In Brisbane?
Yeah.
In
Melbourne.
Oh, bless. It doesn't get cold in Brisbane.
Oh, it gets down. And you're wearing like strapless nothingness.
Did you used to, like, was two-strapping like an uncool thing here? Like at school?
It wasn't spoken about, but yeah, you'd like single. Yeah.
Oh,
it was single strap, but like the bag hanging down to like your
low
knees.
Like recipe for a bad back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, if you two strapped in my school, you get beat up. Like, you could. Yeah, it was just one. And now just like, one is ridiculous.
So comfortable, two strapping.
Yeah, it's so nice. And then have it nice and tight.
We used to have the side bags. Remember, they were trendy. Oh, hated
sport,
them.
Like the sports bag.
Even those. Remember the like flat ones that you'd fit like a book bag?
Yep.
And so rather than a backpack, we went all had the hip hanging ones that was one shoulder and you'd get like agony in your shoulders and back and you're like, oh, but at least I look cool.
Trying to be cool as a kid was horrendous.
Mate, when I had to go from the train station to the school on my crutches, when I had a backpack hanging down to my knees, it was fucking horrendous. I got another one.
Go on. I hope you've got a few.
Yeah, I got a couple. Don't make shirtless selfies your MySpace profile picture. You know, remember like when everyone started getting like digital cameras and everyone was like, we were all doing it, taking like shirtless selfies when you're like 14, 15.
Yeah.
Of like you holding the camera in the mirror. Yeah.
I'm going to try these. Oh, nah,
why are you going through Sean's MySpace?
No. So
see if he's in my
top
friends.
There's like a school reunion happening at for my school, like in a couple of months. So loads of people are now putting photos and stuff on from when we were in school. And there's just a trip and there's like me and five of my mates just like topless, like tensing our abs so much. And we're the scrawniest kids in the world. Absolutely horrendous. Horrendous.
Make this the cover photo for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
No. And I think when you were in school, it didn't matter how many muscles you had, all you wanted was some abs. If you had abs, then you were just like, I'm great. But I was so scrawny.
Yeah.
Like so scrawny. Horrendous. Kate?
What about don't dye your hair black? It looks stupid. An emo fringe.
Does every young girl go through an emo phase?
At My age, pretty much, yeah. But the hairstyle didn't mean you're an emo. It was just in fashion then was the big sweepy across the fringes.
Yeah.
Like the orange fake tan. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Fake tan's come such a long way.
I can remember that smell.
Yeah, it was not a nice smell. It was like sweaty feet or something. You're like, oh.
Travelling is the best. Travel early and travel often.
Yeah.
I think that was some of the... Like traveling solo when I went to move to Wales and sort of ran that country that James was a member of. But yeah, it was makes you grow up and opens you up to a whole bunch of new experiences. Like you can get so sheltered in your little, your town, your school, your community. Mm-hmm. And some people, I see it now, like some people never traveled and they just get stuck and they're the ones with the, who are the most closed-minded, can't handle their views being challenged.
Yeah.
But yeah, traveling like, you know, each part, it goes without saying, but each part of the world is so fucking different.
Yeah.
From the buildings, the people, like, you know.
How you need to interact with people, what you need to do, other cultures.
Yeah.
You know, you understand that. You know, I think you grow up a lot of the time thinking you're the center of the universe.
Yeah.
When you're realistically not, you're such a
small part of it.
Extremely small part. Of whatever you got to do. And I think travel is really important. I think I probably wish I traveled more, like as I was a bit younger. Like I'm traveled, I'm obviously living in Australia. But like even just thinking about Europe, probably didn't go around Europe enough once I was like 18, like on my own enough considering like that. So something I'd like to do. But you always get to that age too where you will have to probably stop traveling. You know, when you're in the... period we are at the moment, so you've got businesses and then you've got kids and stuff. Yeah, you just do it prior to that. Spend all your money on it.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
And like don't wait. That was something it was like, oh, I'll do it but not yet. I want to do it but soon and I'd put it off and it was like just go. Just do it. If I want to live overseas, just go. And because I went to UAE when I was 25 and my career took off and I wished I had have done it
what
sooner.
What the fuck happened?
Still on the up and up. I just feel sorry for you guys. I can help you on the side.
Oh, fucking hell, what's going on? Yeah, travel. I've got to learn how to fight earlier.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think like, that's
like,
important.
Do like an actual like martial art or boxing or something earlier. Obviously found it a little bit later on. Love it. Fought as a kid, I guess, but not, you don't learn to fight. You just fight growing up in the UK anyway, I guess. And I think you would just be able to handle yourself much better in every situation if you just learn how to fight a little bit earlier. And that's not within doing the fight. It's probably then having the ability to step away from the fight, if anything.
Yeah, what's that? Is that saying it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war?
Mm.
So, like, I, this is my personal opinion. I think the worst advice you can give kids is to, you know, always walk away from a fight. Like, because sometimes the fight is not going to walk away. Mm. Sometimes people just, some people are dicks and you can end up in situations where you're not, you can't always get out of, but having some kind of, training gives you a level of confidence that you know, okay, if things go down, I can look after myself and look after the people around me. And, you know, it's super important, I think, especially for girls as well.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that like jiu-jitsu is becoming so popular now and like, I guess all martial arts for females is really taking off and it's super, super good to see. Such a valuable skill.
And just helps you just remain so disciplined. And there's something extremely unique, and we can sort of both talk on this because we've done it, extremely unique in standing you've done it as well, standing across from someone knowing that you're about to go and fight.
Yeah, like literally this morning, it was a weird feeling going to punch James in the face. Super enjoyable.
But also taking the emotion out of it, right? It's a sport. That was a big learning for me in boxing. Yep. Yeah. It's like, just because we're hurting each other doesn't mean we hate each other. Mm. It's a competitive sport in that you can remove emotion from that situation in those instances.
I think it's good too because in rugby you always have someone, you have a team to protect you. Mm. But when you're in a combat scenario, it's you, purely you.
Yeah.
Like everything is completely on you. And I think from a brain power and an empowerment standpoint, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And it's completely meditative. Like I find, like if you struggle with things in life, like this is why people come to this gym sometimes, you know, when you're doing metcons and stuff, then people can't think about other shit on the outside. Me doing jiu-jitsu, I can't think about other things. Because if I'm doing jiu-jitsu and I start daydreaming.
Good night.
I go. And it's the same in boxing, right? Or anything. If you start daydreaming too much or start not thinking enough.
You get caught.
That kind of ties into one of mine, which is like back yourself, but also be kind to yourself. Mm. So in boxing, you learn to back yourself and you learn the mental speak to yourself of like, I can do this, keep going.
Yeah.
And I think learning to listen to the positive voice and not give the negative voice too much weight was something it took me. I'm 34, I still haven't nailed it, but it's taken me a lifetime to shut that voice up.
Mm. I've got a couple that sort of marry into a few things. So we've got like be kinder to yourself, always know your worth. The world is sort of bigger than you think it is and worries aren't as important as you think they are. So just be you. Okay, don't worry if you look different or you feel different. You know, everyone is sort of different. And from coaching standpoint, you know, I think if you can straight away teach them something, it is to probably be kinder to themselves and have a little bit more empathy against themselves. And I think most people feel bad and they start to have guilt and they start to have problems in their life because their self-worth just depletes. Mm. But I believe that self-worth is built by doing what you said you were going to do.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then the reverse of that must be the same.
It's how you bring about like competence and confidence by doing more of the things that you said you were going to do and getting better at them.
Yeah. But then just don't make them too difficult.
Yeah.
You can be something, you know, something very unique about going to bed at nighttime, doing what you said you were going to do.
Mm.
But when people build it up so much that they go, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then they don't do it. Then they start to go, fuck, I should have, or I'm, you know what I mean? Or I'm struggling. And then they just this. So I would say if you want to improve your self-worth, then just do the things that you said you were going to do.
Yeah. And I got one, it sort of built off the back of that. I just had, there was a few times where I didn't make the most of opportunities I was given for lack of, I know, confidence or perhaps judgment of other people, but it's like, don't stop, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and this flows into another one as well. Read more autobiographies from like, you know, successful people. Like I just finished Shoe Dog, and which is the story of Phil Knight and Nike, and arguably the best book I've ever read. And he says that so often throughout, because the way in which he writes the book, he was, for some reason, he journaled a lot throughout his life, and he always would say, "Don't stop, keep going." And everyone obviously knows how successful Nike is, but at every stage in his journey for about 20 years, massive like roadblocks came up and they just found a way to keep going.
Mm.
And imagine how many other people could be in much better places when they are today if they didn't give up when they were faced with some level of difficulty. And that happens, like you see it all the time here, like, you know, work gets a little bit busier for people and they're like, they pull back on their training, they pull back on the nutrition, all the things that would help them deal with the stresses better. And you'll be amazed at how far you can go in life if you just keep pushing forward.
I agree wholeheartedly with all of those statements. I like an autobiography. You listen to podcasts like The Diary of a CEO and there's always that common theme.
Yeah.
You know, a really common theme. And the opportunities one, I get that. You know, I think I've let myself down heaps of times by just not trying as hard as what I should have in certain times.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be viewed in certain ways. I think, again, it sort of marries back to not caring as much,
yeah,
I guess. And again, that sort of comes into like, you know, explore more, like in all areas, like explore more and all, like don't always stick to the status quo. Me growing up, I always was just whatever everyone else did.
Yeah.
I did what everyone did. People went out, drink, I just did that. Whatever sport they play, I just did that. I just did whatever. So I don't think a lot of thoughts were necessarily my own as I was younger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just a sheep.
Did you have the metrosexual trend in Wales?
What was that?
So I was like, do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like all the guys would be wearing like girls' jeans, like skinny jeans, no. before that was a thing, and like, I don't know, weird
girly haircuts,
and
feminine. But
when was that?
2007-ish. I don't know. I did it when I was like 15, and I remember feeling so uncomfortable the entire time. But it was like all everyone was doing it. Yeah. Same fucking haircut.
It was like stylish men.
Yeah.
No. We did not have that.
It was, yeah.
Big.
I like big.
I like skinny jeans now.
Yeah, but this was like super skinny jeans.
Yeah, right. Nah.
Where they were like, something came out on the news like, hey, young men, stop wearing these jeans. You're crushing your balls.
I think the UK was a lot less forgiving.
Yeah.
than Australia. Maybe bigger. Be responsible for all of your actions. Like, own everything.
Okay, Dad.
Like, own it all. So, I think this was a big one, and I started to change my views on this. What was the book by Mark Manson? What was the first book?
Satellite of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah. So, like I said, I didn't read that for ages because I was like, oh, I don't really care too much anyway. I'm too cool. But then I read it, and this is what it was about, right? It was about complete ownership of actions. Absolute game changer for me. Like, everything is your fault. And I go, people might go, well, it's not always you, but it is. Just say that it's take responsibility for absolutely everything. Do you know what I mean? So in business, if something doesn't get done, but say if it was up to Kate to do it, it's still my fault or my responsibility. So if it hasn't been done.
There you go, green light, Kate.
Do you know what I mean? No, because I'm coming down on you like a brick. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, and whatever you do, and if you fuck up or you make mistakes or you do something, like, just take full responsibility for it. Because then you get past it so much easier. Blaming other people will just lead down a big path. We used to have a room at school called the Quiet Room. Did you ever have that here? So it sounds like a wonderful thing now, because every time you were naughty, you got like 3 warnings in class, then you had to go to the Quiet Room, which you just got to sit in quiet for the remainder of the class. And
so
do
like sensory deprivation.
Yeah, so it was a weird thing, but like it was big, because every time you went sent to the Quiet Room, they would send a letter home to your mum and dad. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And saying that you've been to the Quiet Room. I used to spend a lot of time in this Quiet Room. Never my fault. Ever. Ever my fault. It was always somebody else's fault. Still to this day.
They actually have stuff like that now, but it's from a more supportive standpoint. So kids with like...
Go chill out.
Yeah. It's like, do you need some quiet time? Do you need to go to the Quiet Room and relax because you're being very disruptive, and giving them the choice of like, you can go to the Quiet Room or you can stay, but it's opt in or opt out.
I was just being a shit. So they're like, get out.
It's a better option than back in the day where they used to beat kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I had one.
Sure. I got keep learning, like be a lifelong learner. There was probably a period of time where late teens where, just stop learning things. And I wish I kept learning from different people and putting myself out there more to find some different mentors and fields I was interested in, because it was just like when I clicked with that, it was a game changer for me. I remember like when I opened the gym for the first time, I don't think we were speaking about this the other day. Like, I'd never really set foot in a CrossFit gym before. Mm. Like, I'd opened a CrossFit gym, never done a CrossFit class.
Mm.
And the reason I think I was so successful was when I was writing the programming, because that was always sort of a strength of mine. I could program and map things out quite well. I'd go home each night because it was just me. It was solely on me whether the gym succeeded or failed for a period of time. I'd go home and watch, like, so many YouTube videos and read so many articles about like one movement from all different people. So I'd come into class next day and rattle off all these cues and understand like movement patterns, and people would think I'd be like some kind of guru. Mm. I was like, I'd never even been here before.
Mm.
But yeah, I wish I'd done that earlier, and I wish like people don't just finish school and then stop. Because even if you don't, like if you go to uni or whatever, like you can still keep reading, keep learning. And you know, it's such a powerful tool.
I think it goes a couple of ways. I've got some more about education yourself. Just educate yourself better, because again, I stayed in education for, I did the thing where you went to college and went to uni and stuff, but I didn't try at all. I didn't want to be there. I hardly learned. I did exactly what I need to do in order to get by, and then I sort of just fell out of it. I just didn't want to do it. Where you've clicked back into it. Later. Yeah. But if you never had that gap, then maybe that wouldn't have happened as well, you know? But now you enjoy learning, so you wish you learned earlier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jess is a good one. I asked Jess, my wife, if she had anything. She said one thing. And I said, so what would you tell your younger self? She's like, you're not fat. And I thought it was a really interesting point. Because, again, retrospectively, we always think, oh, God, we're in better shape then. At our wedding day, we got married in 2016. Jess was really slim then. But she thought she was not, you know, in good enough shape to do that. And how many parts through your life where you've been in good shape, but you've not enjoyed the moment because you think that you're out of shape? I've done it myself. And that was a really good point. I thought she felt, because I reckon majority of people would have felt like that.
I was bigger in high school. So I think framing that for me would be more like, you're never going to be happy with your body, so just be happy with it. Like, there's no point where it's going to be like, oh, this is it. This is the weight. This is the figure. This is the body composition. It doesn't exist.
Mm.
And I think knowing that, like, I wish I knew 20% of what I've learned with you guys in my 20s, because I'm still shifting my attitude to health and nutrition, and I'm still struggling to get out of that mindset of like out training a bad diet and all of that. I wish I knew that then, because then I would have had the time to have the growth that I'm having now. And so I think, yeah, seeking out that health information and nutrition and like, there's no unhealthy foods, there's only unhealthy diets, you can't out train a bad diet. Learning all of these things then would have had a huge impact on who I became as an adult.
Mm. Yeah. Love it. Alcohol sucks, do more drugs. So I wish, like, alcohol is one of those things where, you know, it's like ingrained in our society that, you know, it's an acceptable drug, but it always has this, like, when you look at people who drink all the time, they're fucking miserable, but it's still socially acceptable to acknowledge that it's okay for them to drink.
Mm.
But then the moment you stop drinking, everyone's like, oh, there's something wrong with that person. They're not drinking, which is a bit weird. Mm. And then for me, it was like, understanding there's, you know, I guess my own experiences shape my reality, but you go through your whole life learning that, you know, magic mushrooms are illegal and they're like the worst thing ever. Like, well, if you've ever done them, you've probably realized that you've had the best time ever, and it opens your views on the world to in a completely different way. So again, that, I think that's just, yeah.
I think they're going to become more readily accepted.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, they are now in Australia.
Yeah.
FYI, if anyone's interested.
Yeah. I think they're good. Because you see all the studies with the sort of what they're doing with MDMA and stuff for mental health and what their microdosing things. And there seems to be like a huge.
So terminally ill cancer patients will have one round of magic mushroom or psilocybin treatment, and they all report, like, the crazy high percentage report, they lose their fear of death.
Mm, yeah, right.
Which is incredible. Imagine, you know, having that sort of level of acceptance that sort of makes them realize that there's more to life and everything will be okay. And that's absolutely incredible. And for people to be denied that, again, at the end of the day, we're all adults. Mm. So we should be able to do whatever we want with our bodies. Mm. But yeah, I think, you know, to say then alcohol is okay and good and it just doesn't make sense to me for alcohol to be so socially accepted. And for me to think it was like a rite of passage going up,
got
to be 14, 15, get smashed because that's what everyone else is doing, when there is like no positive benefits to come from. You end up in super sketchy situations.
Like, yeah. I think that's a really good way of putting it in terms of like a rite of passage, and you're exactly right.
Yeah.
You do it because, and then it just becomes a part of the environment, and it's what you do.
Yeah.
It is what you do. And I'm now 32 and only just starting to click with it.
Yeah.
After over half my life drinking.
Yeah.
It's crazy, really. I had something about boozing, but maybe not. We'll keep it fitnessy now. We'll go, well, no, I've got a few others, but it's like, find a place to train earlier and invest more. Mm. I'm not saying this because I'm a gym owner, but even when I was playing rugby and going to uni, like, I feel like I wasted so many years just doing shit training. And that training, I never, ever actually enjoyed the training. I just trained because I needed to. Never because I wanted to. Just because it's something that needed to be...
Needed to be done.
Needed to be done. So I'd say, find a good place to train. Find a good coach even. Do you know what I mean? Like, find good training partners at least that are going to actually put you... Find a good program that is actually specific to what you actually want to try and achieve and have measurable outcomes to it instead of just wasting years, I think now, of just doing stuff for the sake of doing it. I wish I invested a lot earlier.
Yeah. Couldn't like completely agree. My sporting journey, I guess, or from a training perspective, is like just probably try to enjoy it.
Mm.
Enjoy it a little bit more. Cause I had such like ups and downs with footy, with sport and all sorts. But looking back now, it's still some of my best memories. But at the time, like, I wasn't really appreciating it while I was in it. It's only now that it's sort of taken away from me. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
fuck. I wish I'd just had a bit more fun with it, less pressure around training. I obviously enjoyed it all, but I think I could have enjoyed it a little bit more.
And I reckon that's why CrossFit
pops
took off.
Yeah.
Because you were getting a lot of these people that were athletes or playing sport that have just been going to the gym and doing their 4 sets 10, and then they get thrust into like a CrossFit workout and they feel something they've never felt before. They're like, holy shit, this is mental. And I can't ever remember enjoying training, like enjoying it like repetitive, like consistently, until I started CrossFit 10 years ago. I can't remember a time of enjoying training before that. And then, because even CrossFit back in the day, you know, with the evolution of it now, it's gone a longer way.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was just high volume, high intent. It was chaos.
Just go.
It was chaos, but I've never had that much fun. But I think that was because the people that I was with were all aiming to get a little bit better. Do you know what I mean? And I'll be honest, it made me a better athlete then.
Yeah.
100%. I was way more resilient because you can hurt. Do you know what I mean? I wish I did that a little bit earlier. Just going back to your last point about alcohol, nothing good happens past midnight.
Yeah.
The time on this varies depending on who you speak to.
Well, now I'm getting earlier. I say in the dark now. As soon as it gets dark, it's like...
Go to bed.
Nothing good happens past then. I couldn't... This would be the number one thing I would tell my younger self. Like, you just don't need to be up past midnight. No good stuff happens.
And off the back of that,
yeah,
don't be a fool, wrap your tool.
It's not why I said it, but there you go.
It's true.
Do you want to talk about your wrapping?
No, let's not go down.
Really. All right. I've got quite a few. Move on from idiots. That's early. Friends and acquaintances, different.
Yeah.
That's something I really was passionate of a few years ago, of understanding the two. Because friends and acquaintances are not the same thing, and nor do they need to be.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Your friends are people that you may not even see in a while, or you'll talk to them about different conversations. You'll have different conversations with them. Like, if you know, where your acquaintances are people that you probably just meet for a beer.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or you'll meet just when you're out and you might have some food or some beer, and that's their role in your life. And then you have the people, your actual friends, where your conversation is different. Do you know what I mean? And I think back in the day, I used to put everyone, like, I've got hundreds of friends, hundreds of them. I've got so many friends. And not really. They're all a part of your life.
Yeah.
But they're not all as important as each other.
Yeah. Anything else, Kate?
Yeah. I think I touched on this before we started the podcast, but like, no one knows your body better than you. And so a doctor's word or whomever, it's not gospel. So if you don't feel like the outcome or treatment you're getting is serving you well, like my doctor when I was 19, I realized I had horrific depression, like, and I couldn't get out of bed, I couldn't give a shit, and they were like, oh, we'll put you on Zoloft, which is an antidepressant. It worked for a while, but it also took away any ability to feel any emotion, yeah. which is what I needed in that moment. But they wanted to up the dosage and continue longer than I wanted to. And it was like, oh, maybe, I don't know. And it was like feeling strong enough to question a doctor's decision. Mm. Because like I've talked about a million times, but my kidney stuff, had I pursued that more and not just been like the doctor's like, oh, you're anemic because you're vegetarian. It was like, well, I've been anemic, vegetarian for 15 years. Why am I anemic now? I didn't push that point. And I think getting second opinions and questioning those outcomes and seeing different specialists is something that I would say to anyone at any age, like feel comfortable doing that. It is your body and you know if shit isn't right.
I think that's a good one, because if you've got like a belief, if you've got that belief, then you probably just need to carry on cracking with it. You hear about nightmare stories in the UK at the moment about people taking their kids and stuff in and they're just getting sent home. And they'll go back and they're sent home and there's like, there's something wrong with the kid, and then the kid will end up like passing away of something else.
Yeah.
Like it's horrendous at the moment. So
in Queensland, they've implemented, do you know Ryan's rule?
Yeah, it's been around for a while, but a lot of people don't know about it. But
it's a medical thing, because a child got, I don't know if he got sent home or they weren't doing the right treatment and the parents
were
like,
they weren't getting seen in time or something
like
that.
Yeah, and the parents were like, he's not well, he's not well, please can we get something? And the doctors just weren't listening. This child died.
Mm.
And so they've implemented this new law, and if you invoke Ryan's rule, the doctors have to drop everything, bring in outside consultation and review the case.
Yeah.
And that's a Queensland law. I think other states have implemented similar, but it is within your right to question a doctor.
Do you have to say that, like Ryan's rule? You have
Yeah,
right. That's like old school movies.
Yeah. Well, not to that extent, but like, you know, everyone knows I'm getting my hip done in June. But when I first started seeing a doctor about it to go get scans, he was like, it's fine. It's all good. And I had the same thing with my knee prior to that. Like I had an MRI, didn't show anything. I was like, I can't run or squat. It's like, yeah, MRI is fine. Like you're good. I was like, I'm not.
Yeah, yeah.
And then ended up getting another MRI from a different place and reviewed by a different doctor. And lo and behold, it was cooked. Like people, you know, no matter, everyone, like, okay, full credit to doctors. They've got like a fuckload on their plate and they have to be able to recall all kinds of information under all kinds of different circumstances, often very sleep deprived. But just like any other job in the world, some people are better than others and people see different things in different ways. So, you know, if you're unsure about a prognosis or diagnosis, there is no harm in getting a second opinion.
Well, often doctors even encourage that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like good ones will.
That couldn't come down to coaching or anything.
Yeah, anything. No. Everything.
Everyone's experience is different and understanding anecdotal evidence.
Dodgy tradie. Charge you $1 million for a new fence, get another.
Your body shape is irrelevant if you're not happy with yourself. What do you reckon?
Body shape is relevant. Yeah.
It's irrelevant if you're not happy. It sort of goes on from the Jess's thing a little bit as well, or, you know, maybe happy with yourself or not performing well. Like, I think that might be another one. Like I said, the way you know, you can be lean, but if all your metrics around you are dropping, then what's it worth? Like, what is the point?
Yeah.
And you'll never, if you're not happy with the process or you're not happy with anything that you're doing, looking great, it's just meaningless.
Cool. Anything else?
Yeah, last one for me. I've got more, but yeah, I'll go last one. If you're not worried about the next steps in your life, you are not trying hard enough.
Ooh. Yeah, I think especially if you're trying to get, if you're trying to make progress at anything, like the next step should scare you a little bit, because it's going to like make or break. Like stress causes adaptation. If every step in your life is easy as, then you're not going to be a very resilient human.
Mm. I still got a new client. She was like, I'm really excited, but it's so daunting. And I was like, right, we're in the right space then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what is the next stage? Things should be nervous. Do you know what I mean? Things should be hard. Like,
my last one was like, life isn't an endless, infinite time. And I think that feeds into that, right? You're not just going to wake up one day and be like, I'm an adult with a house and kids, and you're not I don't know, it's like always be better when. Things will be better when I start this new job. Or it's like, no, it's not like that. It's now is the moment you can control.
Yeah, start. Action. Take action.
Do stuff. Move forwards in the direction you want to go.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you've got a plan or you want to get in better shape or you want to get fitter or you want to start a business or you want to do anything, then just go and do it.
Yeah.
Just go and do it. And everyone goes, it's not easy. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it is your ability to just do it, but you think on the thing so much that you don't do anything. You just think about doing it and then nothing gets done. The time is fucking going. You spoke about time.
Drive by. That's me.
Everyone good?
Yeah,
good. I'll save the other 50,000 things for another time.
Part two next year.
That's all good. Well, anyway, thanks for listening. We haven't asked for this for a while, but again, if you can give us a review on Apple or Spotify or share it with your friends, whatever episodes you've been listening to, again, we really appreciate you listening and we'll see you next week.